Amen. Great songs. Appreciate our singing team, for lack of a better word, practicing week in and week out. They're here when we're not here and working on songs and practicing and yelling at Nancy for messing up when she messes up. And, you know, it's just so appreciate everybody. And well, we're leaving Genesis today, but they'll be there next week. Just wanted to preach something that I thought would be extremely encouraging. Maybe I need it, right? Maybe you need it. We all need it. And so we're going to read our portion of Scripture, which will be up on the screen. Very familiar passage, but just great truth when you think of a new beginning and kind of our minds are kind of geared that way, the last day of the year. So we'll be in Joshua 1:1-9, and the Scripture will be up on the screen. So hear the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So may God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Father, open our hearts today. Encourage us, because we're needy people. And may the words come alive by the Spirit of God. In Christ's name, amen. Be strong and courageous. You know, James 4:14 says, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? It is a vapor. It's a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Now, in James, this was written to the rich people who thought they had control of everything. And they said, tomorrow we'll buy and sell, and tomorrow we'll do this. And James says, hold it. You need to say, if the Lord wills, because you do not know what tomorrow will bring. Isn't that true of our life? You just simply do not know what tomorrow will bring. None of us knows what's in store for us in 2024. Oh, we may have an idea that what we're going to do tonight or tomorrow, but we just have no real idea what tragedy we may have to walk through, what loved one we may be forced to say goodbye to this year. And many times, others make life-changing decisions that affect our life, our boss, our company, our government. What great disappointment and heartache we might face this year. In fact, we may discover that our life here on earth is soon to be gone. We just don't know. But as a child of God, we are to walk with God through whatever He takes us through, accomplishing His main purpose for us, and that's what? To give Him glory so that He will shine. And nothing is to detract or distract or to deter us from that mission. Absolutely nothing. So to Joshua, Moses is dead. Moses is dead. And now the burden of leading a couple million people into the unknown, into a tomorrow, lands on the shoulders of one man, Joshua. And three times, now if you know how to study the Bible, anytime God writes something multiple times, God is saying, this is important. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. And this is an amazing passage because this is God's encouraging word to his servant that's facing a hard tomorrow. And so the same thing is true for us today. So I am outlining this following a path of temptations we all face. The first one is we all face the temptation to buckle under the pressure. You know, life's easy when there's no pressure. But when there's pressure, I mean deep pressure, sometimes it's easy to buckle. If you notice in verse 1, it starts with after the death of Moses. Have you ever noticed that whatever comes after the word after in your life usually brings great pressure? It's always that after blank pressure. After blank, a change in my life. After this happened, it got hard. After this happened, I had more trials than I ever had. After this happened, I was tempted to fear. I mean, there's always an after. For Joshua, it was after the death of Moses. Now, Moses, he was quite the servant of God. And isn't it amazing that even though he was such a servant of God, that he even failed where God didn't let him go into the promised land? He took him to the high mountain and said, I'm going to let you see it. No one's exempt. We all need God's grace. But you're Joshua, and you're working with Moses, and all of a sudden, Moses is gone. Listen to Deuteronomy 34:10. The description here of Moses. There has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So that's chapter 34, verse 10, and then chapter 1, verse 1 of the next book, Joshua says, or God says, after Moses is dead, it's all on you, buddy. Now, how do you follow this guy? How do you follow Moses, who spoke to God face to face, who went up to the mountain for 40 days, and God said, I'm going to talk with you, who showed Moses not his whole being, because he would have died, his partial being, and Moses came down from the mountain just glowing. People were afraid. How do you follow this guy? It's interesting, when I worked at Deaconess, most of you know the name Linda White. In fact, the hospice center is named after her. I came in after she had retired, although now she's back being a CEO again in another hospital Deaconess runs. But when I came in the transition to a new CEO, let me tell you this, she was a hard act to follow. And morale is down. It was just a different regime. People were upset. They were treated differently now. And of course, I came in sort of in the middle, so I didn't have the pre-thing. But I do know this, that she still was there. And you had to work like two holidays a year. And so whatever holidays I picked, she would go to Donut Bank and buy donuts for every employee at that hospital. Still does it. Did at Christmas. And so I was up there in my little cubby or wherever I was at, and here she comes with a big old tray, and I got my bag of donut holes. She was a hard act to follow. Can you imagine following Moses? That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. When I first started moving the deceased in homes and nursing homes, and when I first started years ago, I went with one of the funeral directors, and I just stared at him and watched. And I kind of learned, but I remember my first night by myself. It was a little nerve-wracking, you know. It was a little, he's not with me anymore. He's gone, you know. And I made it, but still was a little bit nerve-wracking. Can you imagine? There has not risen a prophet since Moses like this guy. By the way, God says, now it's you, Joshua. It's you. And I'm telling you, you and I will be tempted to feel pressure after this same sentence, after the blank, life got hard. Big life-changing events cause us to face challenges we've never faced before. And there's an ever-present temptation to buckle under the pressure. And I thought this was interesting how God treated death. It's interesting when you study death in the Bible. And you know when they had a death, they mourned, but they had a specific set of days to mourn. If you were a king, it was maybe like 90 days. When Jacob died, they treated him like a king. It was either 60 or 90 days. Abraham, when Sarah died, he mourned for certain days, and he just went on with his life. Sounds kind of, you know, well. It's not that you didn't forget them and so forth, but it was like, I've got to continue. I've got to go on. And it's interesting, in verse 2, God just says to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now it's time for you to go. Arise and go. Oh, can I cry a little bit? Can I mourn a little bit? Now, it's not that God is cold and unloving. For instance, Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Special. Precious. Can't put a price tag on it. Remember, Jesus, the Son of God, in John 11, saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping. Lazarus was dead, and he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. This is the Son of God. Lazarus is dead, and in his soul, he is hurting. So he said, well, where have you laid him? In fact, he even knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And he sees everybody else's pain, and he's hurting. And they said, Lord, come and see. And what's the next verse? Two words. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. So it's not that God is not sensitive, and God doesn't have emotions. He has holy emotions. Not like ours go... Our emotions are like my heartbeat lately. For 1 minute, it's 108,000. The next minute, it's 4, you know, and I'm just like, God is holy. But I find it interesting where he simply says, Moses, he was my servant. Now he's dead. But my plan and my purpose keeps going. And now it's you. After. And it's interesting, after saying, let's go, What was it here that God encouraged Joshua with? It was his promise. It was his promise. He said, you're going to take these people to the land I'm giving you. I'm giving it to you. It's my promise. Just as I promised, verse 3, to Moses. I made a promise, and God never breaks his promise, to Moses, and I'm making the same promise to you. I am keeping my word. Verse 5, he tells him this promise. No man can stand before you all the days of your life. That's a great promise. You're going to be victorious. You follow me. Verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land. Again, I swore to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. It's the same promise. So it was simply the burdens on your shoulder. But Joshua, God says, you lean on my promise. I'm making you a promise, and I will keep it. And it's interesting here that God said, I am giving it to you, I am giving it to you. But he also said, you are going to give it to them. I'm using you. You're a part of my sovereignty in giving it. Amazing. It's going to be big. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be full of enemies. Remember, they sent some spies out, and they came back. 10 of them said, man, they're pretty big. They're pretty big. I went to an NBA basketball game years ago when I lived in Florida because Michael Jordan was coming to town. It was a preseason game, and I had to see Michael Jordan. And our seats were like in the, it used to be called the Tropicana Dome. Our seats were so high up that when they would run and get a lay-in, you couldn't even tell they jumped. And they were like this tiny. So before the game, my friend Jack and I walked down to the floor. Now, I'm 6'3"-ish. And I couldn't believe. When you see him on TV, you can't tell. I couldn't believe. Can you imagine? They went and saw these giants in the land. Remember Goliath and all them? They went and saw these giants. They were big. And of course, what happened? The 10 convinced them to rebel. It's going to be hard, Joshua. You're going to make a mistake. Remember at the time the two people dressed up like they were vagabonds and they really were a part of a nation Israel wasn't supposed to do to, and Joshua didn't pray, he didn't seek counsel, and he promised them that he would take them in, and he messed up. There's going to be your own failures. The people will murmur and rebel against you. Isn't that always fun when people turn against you? Oh, I love it. It's not good. Joshua faced that. But isn't it amazing that God says there is no reason to buckle under the pressure? It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But I have given you my promise. And he called Joshua knowing he wouldn't have Moses to lean on. So who does he have to lean on? God himself. Now that doesn't mean that we can't have others to lean on. And I thought this was interesting. I thought this, that God's basically saying, Joshua, I put you here. And I put you here now. Sometimes we think, boy, it would have been nice to live in the, you know, whatever. Every era had troubles and problems. I personally do like being able to have a bathroom inside my house. So I don't know if I'd want to go back to the 1600s and go to the bathroom with a deer or anything or a bear watching me. But anyway. But sometimes we think, boy, the good old days, right? And there's nothing really wrong with that if you don't live there. But God says, 2024, and back here to Joshua, I chose you. For now. With all the pressure. And that kind of lifts your spirits a little, I think. Wow, and all the pressure, and all the trouble, and all the heartache, and all the difficulties, and all the things that are against us, God says, you're here in that, you're in that life right now. I put you there, and I have a purpose for you. And you live by my promise. Now, our promise is not a land. That was symbolic for our salvation. We have all kinds of promises that we live on. And maybe the greatest one we need to grab is God's love for us. In fact, Paul even prayed that we would learn how much God loved us. Was it Romans? Pray that you would know the love of God, which is wider and bigger and taller, ever you can't even imagine. That he loves us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He hears our prayer. He's sovereign. He has given us his promise of no condemnation and no judgment upon our sin. Christ took that and an eternal home. He's given us a promise that his son has gone to prepare a place for us, and he's returning for us, that where he is, we may be with him always, and we shall be like him when we see him. We live by promise, and God never breaks his promise. In fact, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or whatever we face in the coming year, as it is written, you are killed all the day long. We're like sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Then he said, I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers, things present nor things to come, any power, no height, no depth, no anything in all of his creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have the same temptation today to buckle under the pressure. After, and you and I can all fill in the rest of that sentence. Every one of us. There's also another temptation God was concerned about. There's always a temptation to take a different route. Because God's route is not always easy, is it? In fact, I have discovered in my life that most of the time, the route God has taken me on has been impossible. In fact, are you like me? And sometimes I think back and I go, I can't believe I've even survived this long. How did I make it through that? How did I make it through? I can't believe that I still laugh and I still smile. And then you just think, that's just God's grace. But there's always a temptation to leave God's route and to find another one. Or to leave what he told us to base our life on. And again, three times, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. I have chosen you for this task. I've given you my promise. I've given you my word. I've given you my presence. I am God. There's no one beside me. No man can stand against you. In a very real sense, we are already victorious, but it's going to still be hard. You see, this isn't our home. Our home is heaven. This isn't our home. We're never promised for our government or anybody to make it easy on us. In fact, in all of history, most of the time, Christians had it difficult. At times, you might think life is harder than you ever imagined. God may say at times you'll question what I'm doing in your life. At times, you'll think there's no way out of this jam or that jam. In fact, I really like jelly more than jam, but a lot of times we're in a lot of jam, aren't we? A lot of jam. God will tell us, said, your people will fail you. Your family will fail you. You'll make mistakes. God will step in to teach us lessons, which hurts many times. It's not pleasant, Hebrews says. And you and I may be tempted to try a different path that doesn't seem as hard. And I think the greatest temptation, and even churches face, is leaving God's word. Leaving God's word. There have been occasions on vacation, the few times I've taken one, where we visited another church. And I'll sit, unless it's my friend Bob McNutt's or that, I'll sit in that pew and I'll just think, I can't believe this. And a few times the church has been packed. One time, and I've probably shared this, the preacher preached like a 25-minute message and he showed four videos in that message. And those videos had to be at least 3 to 4 minutes long. See, the temptation is to leave the source of information that God gave us to be the foundation of our life, to seek some other sort of direction, because this one doesn't seem to be bringing in crowds. This one doesn't seem to be what people want anymore. We need to bring in something that's not offensive, something that doesn't challenge us to sacrifice, challenge us to stand alone when the world's going a different direction. So he tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. And in this text, it involves sticking with his word and obeying it. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. What's he put next? You be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? That you may have good success wherever you go. So isn't that interesting? Be strong and courageous. Well, how do you do that? Be in my word. Well, look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, how can something depart from your mouth? Has to be in there. Has to be in there. But you are to meditate on it day and night. Why? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Now, the New Testament sums up the Old Testament Jesus did in two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as you love yourself. That sums up the Ten Commandments. It sums up all of the Old Testament. You follow my word. And all the particulars in the New Testament there. Why is this important? Because God wrote through Moses in Deuteronomy 28, if you don't, you'll be cursed. Listen to this verse. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. That principle is still true today. And that's exactly what happened to the Jewish people, did it not? They rebelled against God. God brought in Babylon, the Assyrians, brought them to captivity. Eventually, he brought in Titus in AD 70, destroyed the temple, all for not being strong and courageous and sticking with the word. And there's a formula here, really. You do this, then this will happen. Do what? Obey the law. Don't turn from it. You'll have good success. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Put it in your mouth. Meditate on it. Be careful to do what's written therein. And the formula, you'll have good success and make your way prosperous. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll be a millionaire like many preachers teach today. And take this out of context. What is the success in this context? Following God, going into the land that I promised Moses, has nothing to do with being a millionaire or having a Rolls Royce. I saw a video this week of a preacher who was bragging that he had the largest mansion in Louisiana. And the crowd, the church just clapped and clapped and clapped. And he talked about his two big jets he had and all that. No, success is following God. It's like one of my children's teachers at a teacher-parent conference sat across from me, and I was in that little bitty kid chair. Don't you love those when you have to sit in those? And you're 6'3", and you're always, I'm always moving my knees away from my head to talk, you know. Your child's not going to make it. Your child's not going to have success. And I said, ma'am, success is following Jesus Christ in this life. That's success. If she's a C student or a D or a he or whichever, I forget what kid it was. I know it wasn't Abby, but I know that. But that's success. I don't care whatever they do, as long as they follow Christ. And if I'm not mistaken, she pretty much stopped the meeting, didn't she? Or at least it, she doesn't remember. She was probably coughing at the time. But success is following God's word. Isn't it amazing how God focused this to Joshua? Strong and courageous, follow my word. Be strong and courageous. You must be in my word. And this never ends. The Holy Spirit uses the word he wrote to encourage us and help us when life is hard. Paul said, hold fast to the word of life so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I didn't run in vain. Here's a word to preachers. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Why? For the time is coming when people will take a different route. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but they'll have itchy ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. They'll turn away from listening to truth and wander off into myths. This is one of the reasons you all are so special to me. For 12 years now, you have come and listened to teaching. Sometimes close to an hour, especially when Tim Denton preaches, right? and Stephen preaches. I think he went an hour and a half his first time when I was somewhere. But that is so special. You come and listen, and I don't just stand up here and read a poem and shed a few fake tears, just try to make you feel good. We get in the Word, and we decipher it, and we pick it apart. Because there's a time coming when people are going to heap up preachers that don't care about that. And they just try to fit into the world. There's always a temptation to take a different route. And God said, Joshua, after Moses is dead, it's hard. You be in my word. And the last one today. There's a temptation to think you are alone. You know, some of you have lost a spouse recently in the last couple years. And you fought this. I've had years people have told me. One lady told me she went home and in the morning she'd get up and her husband went off to work early and she'd always get up and make him breakfast and she'd get up and she'd put the plate out and the coffee cup out and begin to cook him breakfast and then all of a sudden it dawned on her, oh, he's gone. Oh, I'm sitting across from the kitchen table just, oh gosh, if I could change it, I would. It's a horrible feeling to feel alone. And I, in counseling school years ago, I never forget when they said, never forget as a child of God, you may feel lonely, but you are never alone. So the last thing God told Joshua was, don't ever forget, I'm here. Look at verse 5. No man can stand against you. I was with Moses. I will be with you. I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. I'll never give you up. I'll never leave you. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, isn't that neat when he says, I am with you wherever you go? He's the one that sends us wherever we go. So the sender is also the one who is ever present. And he knows where we're going because he sent us. And here he's telling Joshua, it's not going to be easy. This is not going to be easy at all. In fact, did you see that in verse 9? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. You know what that tells us? There's a temptation to be what? Frightened. Dismayed. Wait a minute. God himself is saying, I'm with you. No man can beat you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I gave you my instructions in your word. You follow it, you'll have success. But he adds this. Don't be frightened and dismayed. Why did God add that? Because God knows who we are, and God knows it's going to be hard. God knows we're human. God knows we're frail. God knows we're dust. God knows that we shrink sometimes. So he simply added that. Listen, I know that you're going to be tempted to be afraid. I know you're going to be tempted to be dismayed. I know that it's going to feel overwhelming. I know that you're going to feel dread and you're going to tremble. Now, I'll be honest, in the last few days with my heart deal, I'm not really afraid. But there have been times when I've thought thoughts that I haven't thought in years. Wow, what if I am gone? What if something really, really is bad? You know, those things pop in your head. You know, when our bodies begin to fail, you know, it's like in July, all of a sudden my body said, okay, I'm done with you. All right. No, not yet. Yeah. God said, it's not going to be easy. When Adam fell, you fell. Your body, the minute you're born, starts dying. So he says, And you got to grab this. We're almost done. Grab this. This is not if you feel like it. If you feel like it, don't be afraid. If you feel like it, be strong and courageous. There's none of that in this at all. You know what God is saying here? You choose it. Now, you go to any psychiatrist in this town and they won't tell you that. But God says, you choose. You choose to be strong. You choose to be courageous. You trust him. Trust me. Here's my promises. Here's my presence. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Choose it. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And it's amazing, this promise of God's presence, when Moses was faced with a lot of things in his life. And many times God said, I'm done. And Moses would say, no, you can't be done. God said, my presence is gone. Moses in Exodus 33 begged for God's presence. He said, if you will not go with me, I cannot go. And God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And Moses said, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. Don't take me into the land of struggle and strife if you don't go with me. Wow, wasn't Moses awesome? Only because God had put that in him. And the Lord said, this very thing I will do. What was God's promise to Moses? I'll be with you. And Moses said, I can't make it without knowing you are there. The writer of Hebrews said, keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be content with whatever face I bring in your life, whatever trouble. Be content. Why? Because nobody can take away the best. Take away your health. Take away your car. Take away your job. Take away your good looks. Take away your house. Take away your husband, take away your wife. Doesn't mean that some of those things aren't extremely painful and hard. But God says, be content. And by the way, I'm trying to finish. It's not like sometimes we say to our kids, you know, you just be happy with that gift. You know, it's not like God says, just be content. No, it's loving. Be content. This is the God that wept. that hurt inside, be content because I won't leave you. I know it's hard, but never forget, you're never alone. I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And Jesus, before he left this earth, he said, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So God says, be strong and courageous. What a challenge. I mean, this is the challenge God gave to Joshua. Before an unbelievable task, it's a great challenge for us as well. So basically, in all those temptations, God said, I give you my promise. Here's my provision of my word. And never forget, I'm with you everywhere you go. Father, help us in this coming year to never forget your promise, your provision, and your presence. Lord, we're so thankful you know how weak we are. And when in our life comes an after, may we never forget that you're in our after. As we read earlier, you are in all of our tomorrows. And may we be a people that never leave you, never leave your word, and never forget your presence. And may we shine in a wicked land always. We pray this by faith in Christ's name. Amen.